Today, I would like to talk about another word that we use in church a lot. One of those words, churchy words, that we throw around, but sometimes we might not even understand what it means. Last week, I talked to you about the love of God, conditional or unconditional, and we explained what that meant, what that means when we say that. So another word that we sing about, we talk about in church, is the word grace, charis in the Greek. We use that word a lot. And at times, I don't think that we quite understand what grace is all about, especially when we talk about that we're saved by grace. Like sometimes we say, what we say is true. You don't deserve it. Like, you cannot earn it. You're saved by grace and there's nothing you can do. I mean, some of the things, you know, the Bible talks about that, but I think we have to do a better job explaining what it means to be saved by grace. Because, you know, a lot of people would take it like this. Well, it doesn't matter what I do. I'm saved by grace, so I can live the life whatever I want. And then I would question, really, you're saved by grace. See, that's your attitude. So we had to go back to Scripture to see how Scripture defines grace for us. And so this, the greatest passage, I think, that talks about grace is in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10, because the word grace there appears like three times. And it's the same context every time it appears. But we're going to spend some time in that text. You know, we know, as Christians, that salvation is a free gift. You cannot buy it. You cannot earn it. We know that gift that God gave us, we do not deserve it. But that's what we're going to spend some time. What is this gift? What does it actually mean when we say that we are saved by grace? Now, grace, we got to define what grace is. Grace in the Bible is the word for favor or kindness. So when we talk about God's grace, we're talking about God's favor, God's kindness toward you. And usually when we talk about grace in the Bible, it's a favor that God did to you when you were bad. You know, you're bad, you don't do favor to people when they're bad. So that's where the grace of God comes in. So scholars would say it this way. Grace is God's unmerited favor. You did not, undeserving favor that He showed you kindness when you did not deserve. I like to translate grace like this. Grace is to get something you don't deserve. To get something you don't deserve, that's grace. Somebody did something nice to you when really what they should have done is being nasty to you. But they showed you grace. That's what God did. Grace is to receive something that you don't deserve. Now, we have to find out, why is it that we say that we don't deserve grace? I mean, we always talk about, we preach about, we sing about, but why does the Bible say that you and I don't deserve God's favor? But we have to examine our previous condition before grace kicks in, before grace comes. And let's go to Ephesians. Paul, writing to a church, Ephesus, he explains to them this idea, this concept of grace that I think we have twisted a lot of times in our churches. I was looking for some PowerPoints and things, and it's amazing like how people sometimes says like, all you need is grace, or by grace alone, or by faith alone. But I mean, there's some truth to that, but I think we need to dig deeper to see what that actually means, because people will say by faith alone, like Martin Luther one time, means you don't do anything. So how you get that faith then? I mean, by grace alone, what does that mean? Grace alone, I mean, we know that God did something and He expects us to do something else. So we had to study, we had to analyze what this whole idea, this concept of being saved by grace. And Paul, he was an expert in that. So he's going to let us know how we understand what grace is all about. So in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, Paul says, as for you, reading from the NIV, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. There's the expression. But you see the context already. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly places or heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So in order for you and I to understand this idea of grace, we need to understand our condition before grace came. You know, because otherwise you say grace, we're saved by grace. But you know, grace, if grace is an undeserving gift, something that you and I don't deserve, why is it that we say that we don't deserve grace? Because when I look at my previous condition, Paul says about, he talks about you were dead in your trespasses, your transgressions and sins. You were separated from God before. And if you are separated from God because of the sin, you deserve God's punishment and God's wrath, God's judgment, not God's favor. So look at the word in verses 1 through 4, through 3, what Paul talks about. It says, you were dead in your transgressions. Why? Why does he say that? You used to live in them as you follow the ways of this world. You were following the ruler of the kingdom of the air. And then he calls that ruler the spirit that is now at work in those who do not obey God. The spirit that is now at work in those who are disobedient, he says. You carry out the desires of your body, the desires of your flesh. You know how it is. If we just let loose the thoughts of our minds, what we want to do sometimes, man, we get in trouble very quick. And so Paul says, that's what we used to do. And then he even includes himself, says, we all used to live like that. We all used to walk that way. So you were dead in your trespasses, which means you were dead. It's another word for separation from God. You were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live because you follow the spirit that is now at work in those who are disobedient. You follow the ways of this world. That's why later on, the same author, the same writer says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. So he says, that's how you used to walk. That's how you used to live. And we, because we walk like that, by nature, we were objects of wrath. By nature, we were subjects of God's judgment because that's what we used to live. So you see, that was our condition. And the Bible echoes that because Paul, the same writer, he says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's nobody here that can go in the presence of God by your own standard, because we all fall flat. We all sinners. And that's what it means, we all sinners saved by grace. Because you see, that's our condition. So from the beginning, when Genesis 3, when mankind distanced themselves from God, they ran away from God. And they deserve God's punishment. He says that if we are objects of wrath, that's what we deserve because of our sinful nature, because of our sinful condition. That's what Paul is talking about to them. We deserve, you know, truly what we deserve? God's punishment. And I know what some people might be thinking, because, I mean, sometimes we're like, well, I'm a decent person, I'm a nice person, but you still sin. You still have sin in your life, and your niceness or your goodness is not gonna be enough for you to come before God. We all, Paul says, we all fall short of his glory because we sin. Romans 3:23. Paul says, we, like the rest of mankind, we are separated from God. And if you're separated from God because of your sinful nature, that makes us enemy of God. And you know, you don't want to be an enemy of God because you're placing yourself on the wrong team. And you know, enemy of God deserve punishment from God. And that's what Paul is talking about. That was our condition before grace kicks in. Remember, Paul is writing to Christians. And he says, we used to walk like that. So if he says we used to, you were dead, that means that you're not dead anymore. You know, if you go into the language, you used to walk, you used to live like that. So God got you out of somewhere, the way that you used to walk, and now he placed you in a different position. That's why when we talk about when somebody comes to Christ, when somebody believes in Jesus, you make a transition from death into life, from darkness into light. Remember, that's why Paul, the same writer again, in 1 Corinthians 5:17, he said, if anybody is in Christ, he is a what? A new creation. So he's writing to these people to explain to them this idea of grace. Because we cannot understand grace until you and I understand how we used to walk before. And how, I mean, despite our filth, despite our sinful nature, God still loves us. And I love verse 4. I think that's one of those verses you gotta memorize. First, he explains to you how we used to live. You were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you used to follow the ruler of this world, the spirit who is now disobedient, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. You, like the rest of us, by nature, you were children of wrath. And then verse 4 says something. But God did something. Despite our condition, despite how we were filthy sinners, God still did something that he didn't have to do, but he did it. That's what we call grace. Let's read it. 2 verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you are being saved. So you see, in order for us to understand grace, we have to understand our previous condition. Because we were separated from God, but God in his great love, that's what we call God's unconditional love. Because of his great love that with which he loved us, he made us alive with Christ. When we were dead, he made us alive. He gave us the opportunity so that we don't have to be there anymore. He gave us the chance to be alive with Christ. You know, Paul, talking to Romans, he explained to them this idea of why the wrath of God is coming to mankind, because he says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven to all unrighteousness. And that's why, I mean, people walk in the way they wanted to walk without even the concept of God, that there's a God that loves you, but he expects you to come to him. People twist the truth, and that's why God's wrath is coming. God is angry because mankind is going the other way. And he's still showing them love, but they don't want it. So Paul says, all of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest of the world, we were by nature, objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions and sin. It is by grace that you've been saved. That's where grace comes in. In order for me to understand grace, I understand how sinful I was. You know, that's why later on God says, when you're weak, I'm strong. You have to understand that you don't deserve God's love. That you don't deserve God's favor. Because I was going the opposite direction. I wasn't even listening to God. I was just doing my own thing. And my own thing that I was doing wasn't really what God wanted me to do. But he loves me anyways. I mean, that's amazing. That's what we call unconditional love. But God, because of his great love, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. Paul says it like this. God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While you and I were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so that's grace. That he didn't have to do it. You see, that we did not deserve that love. But he loved us anyways. Amazing. But you see, how was that love displayed? I love that expression because sometimes when people talk about saved by grace, they neglect this area. He says, in Christ. God made us alive in Christ. If I were to give a noun to grace, it would be Christ. That's the name of grace, really. That's Christ. And I'm going to show you how Paul talks about that. But God, being rich in mercy, he showed us grace when we did that. It's almost like God did us a favor when what he should have done is not even look at us. God showed us kindness when we were not being kind to other people and to God himself. That's what we call grace. Because our condition says that what we deserved was his wrath, his judgment. He loved us and he showed us kindness. You know, you see, grace is not that little prayer that you say, like, let's say grace before you have a meal. That's not grace. That's a prayer. Grace is giving you something that you did not deserve because how bad you were. You know how it is? Many of us who are parents, when the kids behave, you know you got to punish that kid. And sometimes you exempt that punishment. You're giving something else. You're showing him or her grace. That's exactly what God did for us. So we were the ones, we are the sinners. We should have paid for our own mistakes. But God said, you know, I'm going to take their place. God, that is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. God gave us the opportunity to have life even when we were going the opposite direction. That's what we call grace. And so, look, I just want you to concentrate on the expression that sometimes I always tell people when you read the Bible, pay attention to the preposition in Christ, with Christ, through Christ. That says a lot. And so you see that through Paul in this book. Made us alive with Christ. And then he talks about, and not just made us alive with Christ, he raised us up with Christ and seated us with Christ in the heavenly places. To me, it's interesting that Paul even talks about some of the things that happens once you are in Christ, because your status changes. You were dead, but now you're alive. No wonder Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except, there's a preposition, through me. So, God made you alive in Christ. Now the question is, when did that happen? What did Christ do that brought us life? Let me give you a clue right there. He gave his life so that Paul says it like this too. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, even though he was rich, became poor, so that you and I, through his poverty, might become rich. He didn't have to come to earth to pay and suffer and do all those things that people did to him. He didn't have to do that, but he did it because he loved us that much, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. That's grace. He knew our condition. He knew we were bad boys and girls. And he says, you know, but I want you anyways. And he was willing to embrace us because of his great love. He says he made us alive with Christ. He seated us with, he raised us up. Paul is even talking about what will happen to those who are in Christ. That eventually when they die, they will be raised up with Christ, to be seated with Christ. Jesus talks about that in the book of Revelation. If you overcome, I'm going to give you the chance to sit with me in my throne. And Paul says, once you are in Christ, you are heaven bound. All because of Jesus. So once you are in Christ, you're a new creation. Your status changes. You become child of God. And not just that, God promises to give you a paradise. You will be raised up in Christ and you will be seated up with Christ. He said, if you overcome, I'm going to give you the chance to reign with me, to sit down with me in my throne. All that happens because of his grace. You see, his grace is found in Christ. That's God's grace to the world. Christ is God's gift to the world. You don't have to give your own son for people that don't even like you. And he did. That's why we found that favor of God in Christ Jesus seated us with us. And then he goes on to say, so that in the coming ages, verse 7, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Let me translate that verse for you. When we say God's been so good, it's because he gave you Jesus. So it's almost like, when I read that verse, it's almost every time you look at the cross, you have to remember how great God's been to you. Every time you take a look at the cross, you have to remember that's how much God loved you, even when you were a sinful individual. And he said he showed his kindness toward you in Christ Jesus. God showed kindness. God did a favor for me, and that favor came in Christ Jesus. That's what we call, my brothers and sisters, grace. Because he knew our condition. He knew what we were going to do with him. God knew what people were going to do with his son, and still gave him anyways. He showed the world favor, kindness, in Christ, that it is in Christ Jesus. And so he expects now that people in this age, they will be able to tell people, because God wants others to know about his amazing grace that we sang about today. How sweet it is that I was a wretch, sinful individual, and he still gave me grace. He still showed me kindness. And then he goes on to say, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. There's the preposition again. It is by grace through faith. It is by grace that you have been saved because God already initiated the whole contact. He gave you your son. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. What is faith then? Faith is the means by which you benefit from that grace. Faith is the means by which you benefit from what God already has done. By grace, through faith, grace is God's gift to the world. You and I cannot earn it. We don't deserve it because of our condition. All that we can do with that gift is what? Receive it. That's where faith comes in. Receive it. When you go through the book of John, the reason he write the book, he says it in the last chapter of the book, chapter 21, one of those, he says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs that are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and by believing in Him, you might have life. That's why he wrote the book. So John's idea, John's gospel is that people believe in Jesus. And he says it, my Father's will is that whoever believes in the Son will have life. So believing is another word for faith, trust. So you are saved by grace through believing in what Jesus already did for you. If you don't believe in that, grace is not going to be good. You still have to believe because it's through faith. It's like God already did what he needed to do, and a lot of people still do not believe. They take the grace of God for granted. You know how it is? Many of us have done that to gifts that you have received. You know, in Christmas time when you get gifts, somebody gives it to you and you don't really like it, but you give it to somebody else. You took that person's gift for granted because you don't like it. So you know how it is. If it's a gift, in order for you to know what the gift has, you have to really open it. I mean, you can. This is a gift that Lola gave me, right? And I just put them in here, but I never pay attention to it. Is that gift really benefiting me? Is it really helping me? I had to really treasure this thing, you know. It's like because I hope every time I look at the gift, I remember Lola gave me this because she loves me. So it's like, oh, I don't care. Well, Lola, you know, I just kick it. And people have done that to the gift of God, to Jesus. So he gave the world a gift, and the world said, no, God, thank you very much. We don't want him. But when we do that, we take God's grace for granted. In vain. So, God gave you this gift and you receive it. When we embrace it, that's what we call, we believe, God, we believe that we were sinful people. We don't deserve your grace. We believe that and we believe that you loved us so much. And that's why I need to get Jesus. That's why I need to believe in him because he is the Savior. So you are saved by grace through faith, through believing in what Jesus did. Paul says it this way. Paul says that faith is what grants you access into the grace in which you now stand. Let me just read it for you, in case you may have doubt when Paul is writing to the Romans. Chapter 5. Check this out. He says this. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we now have been justified by faith. Now, when justified by faith means that you now are declared righteous by faith. The whole justification means that you are innocent. Since now we're being declared innocent through faith, we have peace with God. We are now at peace with God because what faith in Christ has done to us, for us. We are at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. By faith, you and I gain access to grace. By faith. Like, that's why I call faith. It's like the channel by which you go into grace. It's the means by which you receive grace. Because grace, if you don't receive it, it's not going to help you. That's why Paul says you are saved by grace through faith. In other words, if you don't believe in Jesus and what he has done, faith won't do you any good. You see, Paul wrote to the Galatians, to another church he wrote in chapter 5, verse 4. In the Galatians, he says, you were falling away from grace. Now, how is that possible that you can fall away from grace? You know why Paul wrote that to the Galatians? Because the Galatians were trying to earn grace. They're trying to earn a right standing before God on their work, They were trying to, well, you know, if I do this, then God would just, no, no, God already loved you. And he gave you Jesus. What he expects you to do is believe in him. So they thought, well, we have to do certain things before because, you know, they tried to earn their way. And so Paul says, you were running a great race, a good race. What happened to you? In Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, the Galatian church, they were trying to earn God's grace by the law. If we obey the law, then God's going to look to us with favor. You cannot. Now, you obey the law because God says to do it, but not because you think that by doing it, you're gonna earn grace. Grace cannot be earned. So Paul said to them, you're falling away from grace. You're taking the grace of God for granted. If you think that you can earn it, if you think that you deserve it. They were trying to earn a right standing with God in their practice of rituals. You know how it is. There are a lot of religious groups that they think if I dress differently, if I do this, you know, I'm earning grace. You can dress whichever way you want. And now be careful with that statement. But you're not going to earn grace by how you dressed. Or if I, you know, I try not to, you know, we see the Ten Commandments, we keep, like, keep a score. The Ten Commandments are always good. They were great, and God gave them to guide the Israelites. But you don't keep them because you think you're going to earn God's grace. You keep them because if you love them, he said, you obey my commands. Not because you think, well, I had to do it because, you know, I'm just getting stars in my, you know, like, check. That's not the way. You do it because that's the way he told you to live. But you cannot earn God by keeping laws or rituals or regulations. You cannot earn grace. Your job is to embrace it. And you embrace it how? Through faith in Jesus Christ. You're saved by grace through faith. And that's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Not by works, so no one can boast. So you cannot, the Galatians were boasting because they was like, you know, we keep the law, especially the one of circumcision. That's the one that they were dealing with. And Paul says, you were running a race very well. What happened to you? You're falling away from grace, he said to them. You're taking the grace of God for granted if you think that by what you do in church, you're going to earn his favor. You have the whole doing backward. Yeah, our faith is shown by works. But the works is not like, oh, I'm going to earn God's favor. We cannot. We cannot earn it. Grace, he gave us Jesus. Our job is to embrace and make Jesus ours. And then once it's ours, then grace will also do something else. It will teach us how to live for him. That's another aspect that a lot of times people don't tell us about when it comes to grace. We're saved by grace through faith. Faith is necessary for you to be saved by God's marvelous grace. Grace is free, but it's not cheap. God's grace doesn't just save you, it trains you, it teaches you. That's what the writer, a disciple of Paul named Titus, wrote to a church. And I just want to give you that verse because, like I said, sometimes when we hear about grace, we forget about our responsibility. Once we're already in that grace, once we have changed our status, God has changed our status. Once we're there, what are we supposed to do now that we're saved by grace? What does that actually mean? Well, I mean, it means a lot of things because, I mean, if he says that you were used to walking in those ways before God got you, so that means don't go back to that way from where God freed you. And Titus does a great job explaining to us. And he says the grace of God has appeared. Look it up. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. He said, for the grace of God brings salvation has appeared to all men. We know that's true. That's what Paul is saying. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. What is that grace that has appeared to all men? Jesus. Because salvation is found in no one else, Peter said. So the grace of God that brings salvation to all men is here. God's greatest gift to the world is here. What you going to do with it? The grace of God that brings salvation to all men has appeared. And then he says, he teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-control, upright, and godly lives in this present age. What does grace do to us now? If it has appeared, now that we stand in grace, He says he teaches us. The word for teaching here, it's not like what takes place in a school. It's more like the training, like the father training the kid. And, you know, it's training, like the disciplining you. That's the word there for. He trains us to say no to ungodliness. He trains us to stay away from where God got us from, so that we don't go back to being dead in our transgressions and sins, so that we don't go back to following the spirit that is now a work in those who are disobedient, so that we don't go back to the life of filth and sinful behavior that we used to be. The grace of Jesus Christ now teaches us to stay away from that and to live self-controlled lives in this world for His honor, for His glory. That's, you see, saved by grace, it's not just like you don't do anything. You embrace Jesus, and once you embrace Jesus, He expects you and I to behave certain way. You're saved by grace, but grace teaches you, trains you to live self-controlled lives in this present age. When He wrote those words, like 2,000 years ago, He teaches us. The grace of God has appeared. He brings salvation to all men, and He teaches us to live godly lives for Jesus. You see, once you and I found Jesus, going back to what Paul's talking about, before we found Jesus, we were dead, set apart from God. We were dead in our sins in which we used to walk and follow. We deserve God's judgment. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love that He loved us, He made us alive in Christ. God changed our status because of Christ. Christ changes things, and He did that. He brought us from death into life, from darkness into light. And now we're standing right here with Him. Grace says, this is what grace teaches us. Stay here with Christ. Don't go back to the old lives you used to live. Grace trains you to stay here. Jesus said it this way, remain in Me, and I will remain in you. He teaches us to stay away from ungodliness and the things that don't please God. He trains us to live upright lives for Jesus. Now, my friends, we know what grace is all about now because we examine our condition. We know what God has done. We know our responsibility in this idea of grace, saved by grace through faith, through believing in Jesus. If you're here today and you still have not found Jesus Christ, you still don't understand the grace of God, don't go home without giving your life to Him, believing in Him. If you haven't embraced grace, you can do that today by trusting Jesus, by trusting in His sacrifice, by trusting in what He has already done for you and I. And if you are here today and you already have done that, you already believed in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're already standing in grace, then keep on standing in grace. By continue learning about grace, teaching you to stay away from what displeases God, to live self-controlled lives for Him. That's what grace is going to do to us. Because if you don't do it, then you're taking the grace of God in vain. You're taking for granted. Grace of God has appeared, and it brings salvation to all men, and it teaches us to stay away from what displeases God. Self-controlled lives, upright lives in this present age. When I think about the cross, I always had to give thanks and glory to God for His amazing grace. And we sang, thank you, RJ, for the songs. Amazing grace. I hope that when you hear that word again, just think about amazing grace. You know why it's so amazing? Because I did not deserve it. You know why is that grace so amazing? Because when He knew my condition, He knew how bad I'd been, He loved me anyways. And all that He asked of me is that I trust Him and believe in Him. And now, once I'm in that position, my job is to continue walking with Him and continue telling other people also about His amazing grace. I'm forgiven because He was forsaken. And I'm alive and well, the newsboy says, the Spirit is within me because He died and rose again for me. And you and I did not deserve that. That's what we call grace.